Amen. There's room at the cross for who? Near the cross? Room at the cross? Aren't you glad there's room at the cross for you? Are you really glad? Are you glad to be here this morning? I am too. It's because there was a hungry man named Peter and Cornelius. Peter was hungry to obey the Lord, and Cornelius was hungry to find the Lord. We spent a couple of weeks popping paradigms. This morning, I'm going to use an old broadcast phrase. How many of you have spent a lot of time listening to the radio? I grew up listening to the radio for hours. And the name Pat O'Day, I don't know, anybody remember the name Pat O'Day? KJR, Seattle. Pat O'Day is a broadcast icon, if you will. He changed the face of rock and roll and radio and developed a whole frame of reference for radio announcing, which was called time and temperature. It sounds like nothing today. It sounds like no big deal. But Pat O'Day changed the face of radio by doing it. It's not how they used to do broadcasting. It's 32 degrees in downtown Seattle. This is KJR Seattle. And that's not how it all used to be, but Pat O'Day did it. But there was another phrase, you know, music times, you know, we're going to play 10 in a row. And after three would play, you know, they'd announce the records. And then they'd say, remember this phrase? And the hits just keep on coming. Oh, don't you remember that? And the hits just keep on coming on KJR, 10:45. And, you know, never mind. But it was a lot of fun. And the hits just keep on coming. And that's the name of this morning's message. And the hits just keep on coming. We spent a couple of weeks popping paradigms, and now it's a glorious time moving in the Spirit. It's a wonderful time of revival. They spend several days basking in the afterglow of revival, and now Peter gets to go home and face the sons of thunder. And the hits just keep on coming. Interestingly, we have had a tsunami of God take place in Acts chapter 10. One of the most powerful events that has ever occurred in all of church history, as we've studied it the last couple of weeks, as God opens the doors for the Gentiles to come into the faith. Absolutely miraculous, powerful move of God. Twin visions came ahead of time to Peter and to Cornelius, so there's no mistaking this is God doing this work. And God did something supernatural. The baptism in the Spirit falls. They hear them speak with other tongues. They go, my gracious, so God has already poured out His Spirit on the Gentiles. How can we forbid them water? They get water baptized, and the Scripture is fulfilled. Remember in the book of Acts earlier when they say, what must we do to be saved? Remember? Repent. Say it with me. Repent. Be baptized. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And we saw it fulfilled. We see it unfolding. And now comes time to go home. Now, if you're anything like me, when you're growing up, do you ever have a time or two where you knew you were out doing some things you shouldn't? Okay, thank you. Pat, Seeley, and me. We're little rebels in our generation. There we go. And you know... Come on, has anybody ever, you know, you better make it a good time, because when you get home, you're going to have trouble to pay. When you look at each other and maybe, you know, this is going to be a tough time when I get home, so we better live it up now, because I'm going to have to hold on to the memory for a while. I won't be able to sit on anything else. I just have to sit on this memory. Well, there came a time when the afterglow of revival fires burns down and Peter's got to go home. And he's going to give a report. How am I possibly going to give a report of doing what's contrary to what anybody ever understood? But the only report that's possible is God moved and it was such a great time. And God did it. Now, I know I was using an illustration from my past that I won't brag about, and it's completely different than this one, but that sense of, if I can help you capture it in your heart, that sense of, I wonder what's going to happen when I go see the gang. You know, you had that sense of foreboding. I wonder what's going to happen when I go see dad or mom. But I wonder what's going to happen when I go see James and John. They're going to wonder why I didn't call them up and check this leading out with them. They're going to wonder why I didn't email them. I've got to give a report. And yet, I don't think Peter was probably too full of fear. He knew God, and he knew Jesus had moved and done something supernaturally. Our context this morning then, Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. Acts 11, verses 1 through 18 is the section of Scripture that we're going to spend our time with this morning. So we're making our way through the book of Acts, Acts Alive. This is our 26th lesson on Acts so far. And we're going to look at contention, cleansing, and convincing. Contention, cleansing, and convincing. The circumcised, number one, content. The circumcised, content. Acts 1, verse, or 11, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read it first from the Message version here. Listen to this. This is fantastic. I like to let the Scriptures come alive, and it's very vivid. The news traveled fast. Isn't that cool? I just like even the way that starts. You can imagine the news was probably traveling fast. The news traveled fast, and in no time the leaders and friends back in Jerusalem heard about it. Heard that the non-Jewish outsiders were now in. When Peter got back to Jerusalem, some of his old associates, concerned about circumcision, listen to this, called him on the carpet. What do you think you're doing, rubbing shoulders with that crowd, eating what is prohibited, and ruining our good name? There's a lot of things put in very religious, we call this VRG, verbalized religious garbage. Nice holy terms, but it has nothing to do with holy terms. So what it really has to do with is you did something I don't approve of. Whoa. Acts 11, 1 through 3, out of the New King James. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. That's a good thing, isn't it? Verse 2, and when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went in to uncircumcised men and what? Ate with them. Now, let's go back to where we've been understanding in our last few weeks. The early church was Jewish. They were the circumcised. Now, the Jews didn't mind the Gentiles hearing the message necessarily. They didn't necessarily mind that the Gentiles would become a part of what the Jews were doing. And that, right there, is the point. The Gentiles needed to become a part of what the Jews were doing. The Gentiles, if they're going to play in this game, need to get circumcised. Maybe that was something sadistic on their part. We had to go through the pain. You too. But no. It's the law of Moses. Circumcision. We're the chosen people. Can you, you know, somebody's over inside their hearts throwing a spat, you know. We're the chosen people. You can't do this. No fair. You can't play in my marble game. You brought Steelys. No fair. This isn't the rules. I mean, we're the guardian of the chosen. You can't do this, God. Anybody ever say that to God? You can't do this, God. Kind of like that oxymoron. No, Lord. Jesus is bringing new people to himself, through himself. Wait a minute. They need to go through the high priest. There's a whole form of religion today, very sincere brethren who love the Lord, many of them, who believe you cannot get to God without a mediator called the Pope or called the priest. But you take a look in the New Testament understanding, and God has access and avenue to each individual through faith by grace in Jesus Christ. That's powerful. But we sit on the backside of this looking back. These guys were going through the throes of this controversy in their soul. Wait a minute. They're supposed to come through this way. And I'm supposed to count them off as they come through the door. That was my job. But they're not coming that way. The Jewish believers didn't really mind the Gentiles hearing the gospel, but they really had problems with Peter eating and lodging with them. Thank you. That's how God felt. They really had problems with the Gentiles and these Christians eating together. Now you stop and you go, that seems so silly. But the law of Moses was being broken here. And remember, Peter went through this whole wrestling match. And these guys now back in Jerusalem weren't a part of it. They weren't a part of seeing the vision. They weren't a part of being there at Cornelius' house to bask in the glow of revival. So all they do is hear a testimony. All they do is they hear the report. Can you imagine the runner coming, running in? Oh, they didn't have email. They didn't have telephone. Can you imagine? You can't believe what's going on. We've lost Peter. Peter's out there hanging around Gentiles. All I'm trying to do is help you feel it in some measure. Now, if you're caring about Peter and you don't know what's gone on, I imagine a few of the brethren probably were deeply concerned. Some of them really were, but those, especially of the circumcision, were really upset because he didn't do it their way. All right, now, listen to what Proverbs 13, verse 10 says. By pride comes nothing but strife, with the well-advised is wisdom. The King James, only by pride cometh contention, with the well-advised is wisdom. The NIV, pride only breeds quarrels. Wisdom is found in those who take advice. The NASB, New American Standard, through presumption comes nothing but strife. The New American, the stupid man sows discord by his insolence, but those who take counsel have wisdom. The New Living, pride leads to arguments. That's about as good a version as you can get, isn't it? When you're sitting there and you really want to boil it down to the bottom line, pride leads to arguments. Say amen or oh no. You didn't argue on your way to church, did you? I'm not after anybody. The Holy Spirit might be. But pride leads to arguments. God's Word version, arrogance produces only quarreling. By pride comes contention. The proud contends. We start here with the word contention or contended. In the Greek, that word is dokarino, and it means to separate thoroughly, withdraw from, oppose, discriminate. That kind of pride sets off. I've made an assumption. I've made a presumption. There's an arrogance. There's an anger. It's a setting off. You get to be placed over here, because you did it different than I wanted you to. Different than you should have. But God's changing hearts and minds. And the hits just keep on coming. When people are in contention, they are holding on to their differences. Come on, you've been in an argument. You don't have to show me your hands. I just know you, okay? You've been in an argument. And what happens when you argue? I've got a side? No, not me. You've got a side and someone else has a side. I'm never involved in an argument, right? There's sides. And when pride gets involved, what happens? I ain't giving my side over to you. My side's right. You're all looking so holy this morning. Come on, isn't that right? My side. And it's not just, even if somebody comes along as a peacemaker and says, now let's look at this from another side, the person who's really full of pride stands up and says, there is no other side. There's only one way of seeing this thing. Interesting. Pride leads to contention. Now, these folks who were of the circumcision said, there is this way of doing it. And that's the way it should be. And we are righteous because there is the law of Moses. God has shown us as the Jews, we are to be the light of the world. And you have now done it wrong. And they want to hold on to their difference. They were the pedigreed. Do you have the right papers in your closet? Do you have the right name? Door of Grace Ministries. Now, what kind of brand is that? Non-branded. More and more churches, if you'll find the last 30 years, more and more people have been getting rid of the brands on their names for churches because there's very little brand loyalty anymore. Now, we're in a community where there may still be some brand loyalty because there's many retired people who come from certain persuasions. But today's generation knows nothing or very little of brand loyalty. And I was in a conversation with somebody just last week who, there's a very strong Catholic and a very strong Lutheran that got married. But the Lutheran background was referring, and this is an older person I was talking to, and she was referring to her mother who's in the 90s. And the church, now the church, the Lutheran church had just changed its name to really a fine name. But it no longer said Lutheran. And the mother was nearly ready to go see Jesus because it didn't say Lutheran. And thought that that was anathema. We get brittle in what we understand God is doing. And what we have to do is go back to the scriptures and say, okay, Lord, change me. Make me pliable. Make me teachable. What is it you want to do? Peter was pliable and teachable in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Now, if it's contrary to the Word of God, that's not the right kind of pliability. But if it's not contrary, and God is spreading His kingdom, and there's fruit coming, and He has to break our mold so we can see through new eyes, that's what God does. Door of grace, that's what God does here. Can anybody in this room say God's changing them? Come on, is God changing you? Is God changing your thinking, the way you've seen things, the way you've done things? Well, we don't do church. Pastor Kevin, you don't do church like we always did. Yay! Aren't you glad? Otherwise, you'd be down the street where you always did it the other way. Basics, major on the majors, minor on the minors, but there are things that God's doing, and there's expectancies, and there's ways we see things. And I've already had some people conclude that because I don't preach a certain doctrine, I must not be going. I must not be of God. And there are some doctrines I don't spend time preaching because they're minors. And we'll find out someday. You all are going to be like, what am I talking about? You want me to talk about it? Listen, I choose not to divide with people on things like whether or not there's a rapture someday. Because I tell you what, if you get as close to Jesus as you possibly can get, if there's a rapture, bye-bye when it comes, and if there's not, hello when we're all still here. And we're just going to keep serving Jesus. But there are some people that say, you don't preach that doctrine, you don't believe in that, you're not going. Okay, I corrected that thinking, and I think it's all right now. But nevertheless, it's the whole point is, what's Jesus doing right now? Let's major on the majors. And here, he's breaking down pride and contention that's based upon an expectancy of how God's supposed to move in something. God, you're supposed to do it this way. And Peter was flexible enough to receive a new message and run with it. And let's see how the hits keep coming. Pride jumps to conclusions. Pride judges things. Pride convicts before even hearing an answer. Now, I do want to say something. I'm going to show you how in Acts chapter 11, if somebody has an ought, they biblically took care of it. Because they went straight to Peter. And then they listened carefully to Peter's answer. When you have an ought with somebody, door of grace, and you go behind the back and go to someone else, you are nothing more than wicked sinners who are involved in gossip. And that is something from which to repent. And when we go that way, we are in sin. And what you need to do, if somebody comes to you and says, I got a problem with such and such, you need to go just like this. I'm sorry, my name isn't such and such. You need to go talk to them. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. You hear what I'm saying? Come on, door of grace, you want to do it biblically or not? You sure? Okay, God's still working with us, isn't he? So I'm not saying, well, I'm looking at perfect people or people to be harsh with. That's not what I'm saying. But we see a beautiful illustration in Acts chapter 11 of how these people have problems with Peter. You did it wrong. They're agitated. They're upset. They're offended. And we see how Peter gives an answer, and we see what happens to the hearts of those who listen to that answer. Pride creates contention. So go to the right person and listen. By the way, there's another verse people like to throw out your way. If you're doing it according to the scriptures. Now, I'm not talking about illegal leadings. I'm not talking about being contrary to the word of God. But if you're following God, some people that don't think you should do it that way like to throw out a verse that goes like this. You didn't avoid the very appearance of evil. Peter did not avoid the very appearance of evil, church. Now, that doesn't mean he went into brothels and bars. That's not the point. But Peter went to the people he wasn't supposed to go to. And on top of it, he ate with them. The message may sound jokingly when it puts it, but the point is true. That message translation or the message verse there said, you are making us look bad. You're ruining our good name. You're not avoiding the very appearance of evil. And Peter appeals to what God says and appeals to the fruit. Examine the root and examine the fruit. Is it a God thing? If it's a God thing, there'll be God fruit. If it's not a God thing, it's not worth the powder to blow it up. I got a friend who says that all the time. Pastor Jerry, it's not worth the powder to blow it up. Okay, if it's a God thing, it'll bear scrutiny and it'll bring forth fruit. This may sound silly. Guys, I know some perfectly sweet Christian people who, some of whom, were really angry the door of grace even started as a church. How dare you? And the person who got so angry was from a non-denominational church that started up in their town, only it was just a long, long time ago. We're starting up because God wants us here. Those from the neighborhood, hope you're all right with that. But God wants us here. We came to be a what? Blessing. But legalism blinds. And legalism sees through a certain set of eyes. Let's look and see how they handle the difficulty. The circumcision contends. Exteriors. They ate wrong. They ate with the wrong people. They went to the wrong places. They're blind altogether to the fact the kingdom's enlarged, the message is spread, people get saved, baptized in the Spirit. Doesn't matter, you went to the wrong place. That sounds silly, but people feel those kinds of feelings. Let's see how God takes it. Pride contends. Secondly, God cleanses. Acts chapter 11, verses 4 through 17. The beautiful thing that Peter does is he simply rehearses what God has done. And listen to his appeal. The scripture says, folks, the Holy Spirit will give you the words in that hour. Listen to Peter as he appeals simply to God. He didn't have to get weird. He just said, God did it. Listen to it. Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. I'm reading from the NIV here. I was in the city of Joppa, what? I was what? I'm sorry. I was praying, okay? So I wasn't walking away from God. I was spending time with God. And in a what? That's a spiritual word. I saw a what? I'm praying. I got a trance. I see a vision. I didn't just pop up with this thing and come up with a good idea. I saw something like a large sheet. Now it just unfolds. What happened? Being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, birds of the air. Then what? I heard a what? Telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Now at that point, every one of you needs to examine your leading. Is that God's voice or not? And that's what Peter wrestled with. It's not always easy. You understand, don't you, when you first give your life to Jesus, things are real clear. You know, God makes it clear. God answers all your prayers. If you ever want to get healed or you really want something to happen in your life, go get a brand new Christian to pray for you. God answers all their prayers. Loves to do it. If those of us who have hung around a while, how is that God's will? I wonder, is that Lord didn't answer all my prayers. Aren't you glad God hasn't answered all your prayers? There are some answers if God had answered. Oh, man. He knows best. Then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. I replied, surely not, Lord. I love that. I find this, if you find a little bit of humor in the scripture, I find that phrase right there. No way, Lord. Interesting. Peter may not have known yet whether this was the voice of God. Well, now, wait a minute. That phrase tells you he does know it's the voice of God. He's wrestling with what the voice of God is telling him. Hey, do you always like what God tells you to do? Go humble yourself and go ask that person's forgiveness. Go to the neighbor who's been such a stinker to you and invite him to church. Is that always a great leading? Go back to that person and you be sweet. And even if they were wrong, you bear the fruit of Jesus. Is that always easy? You're not all saying amen, so there must be real in some lives here this morning. But surely not, Lord. And here's his wrestling match. I've been clean. I've been clean according to the truth. According to what I knew as your word, I have obeyed you. And Peter did. Nothing impure or unclean has even entered my mouth. God, this is your word. What are you doing here? And God's saying, it's a new day. I'm taking you to deeper application. You understood, don't touch, don't handle. You understood the exterior, Peter, but I'm going to take you to something deeper, and you're going to have to quit being so brittle so I can change you in order to use you to change someone else. Anybody in the room ever been brittle? Sure. The voice spoke from heaven a second time. And here's the message. Don't call impure what God has made clean. This happened three times, and it was pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. I talked about this last week. I just want to repeat this. God, no fair. You're wrestling with my theology. Then give me a time to convene a conference and get my friends together. Give me time to get my buddies together, and we'll wrestle through this issue because it's theology you're talking about, right, God? It's what I preach from the Scripture, right, God? And God says, no, son, it's your attitudes right now, how you walk. God knew right then and there, at that moment, right then, bam, 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 time for you to come to us with your new understanding, Peter. And Peter could rightly look at them and frightfully look at them and say, I barely heard it, guys. I don't have time to change my heart yet. I barely got this leading. He didn't have time to take theology and let it play out and give himself a year or two for new understanding. He had time for a new understanding to affect his feet right then. If theology doesn't affect your feet right now where you walk, you don't have theology. If theology doesn't affect the way you live today, you don't believe it. If you are not impacted by the Word of God and what it says to you right now, you don't believe the Word of God. Well, just give me another couple of weeks and I'll go work this attitude out, and then maybe I'll get it right with my brother or sister. And God says, knock, knock, knock at the door. Your brother or sister's right there. What are you going to do with your rotten attitude? I'm just going to hold on to my theology thing. I'd be more comfortable with theology. God says, no. Why does, church, can we talk for a minute? Can we talk? Why do you think God puts us in church? Yeah, and but why? Wouldn't it be easier? Come on, can you say amen? Wouldn't it be easier if you just got to study all this stuff at home and let it trickle through your thinking and you didn't have to be in church next time you see somebody and have to really be a Christian together? It'd be a lot easier if I could just silent moments of meditation through all this stuff, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Come on. The problem is, God asks us, no, I said that wrong. The problem is God commands us to be real Christians in a real way, and that means we're real creeps sometimes who get to really change and keep growing. Okay, I'll just say it to me. I'm sometimes a real creep and I need to repent and keep growing. I'm not accusing you. I'm talking real Christianity this morning. And the reason God makes me come to church is because when I look at you, I can't hold on to my cruddy attitude. I get to repent and be a Christian. And so we sit together, Royal and I, and if we have a disagreement, you know, we could be just as phony as a $3 bill. Hello, Brother Royal. How are you today? Fine, Brother Kevin. How are you? Good to see you today. Oh, it's nice. See you later. Amen. Boy, I can't stand that guy. Listen, church, that's the way a lot of church lives, church. At Door of Grace, let it not be so. As for me and my house, let us serve the Lord. And if Royal and I have a problem, we sit down together and say, hey, got a problem. Okay, well, let's talk. Let's go. Oh, forgive me, brother. I didn't have any idea I'd done that to you. Forgive me. That's when the rubber hits the road. That's when Christianity gets real. That's why there's church. Because you get the nasties worked out and you get to share the glories together. Right? Yeah. Now, I want to ask you, would you rather live in a phony baloney or would you rather live where it's real? That means it's not always easy, right? Now, you choose. Easy church or real church? You sure? Now, come on. Easy church or real church? Who wants easy church? Okay, real church. Oh, come on, let's hear it. Real church.
You know, God heard you, don't you?
This is what was going on. Peter, you didn't do it the way I approve. You shouldn't be there. You shouldn't have gone there. Out of all the places on the earth to go, why in heaven's name did you go where Cornelius was? He's a Gentile. You didn't belong there. Somebody else could have gone there, Peter. You're a big, solid apostle. Don't you know? Yes, not avoiding the very appearance of evil. Don't you know people are watching? Well, sure, people are watching. Aren't you glad? Keeps you holy, doesn't it? Somebody else is watching, helps you walk right. The Spirit told me. This happened three times and it was all pulled up into heaven again. And right then, 3 men had been sent to me from Caesarea, stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These 6 brothers also went with me and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear. Well, wait a minute. God doesn't talk to Gentiles, does he? Especially an unsaved Gentile. Well, that's an oxymoron. No, that's just a true statement, unsaved Gentile. That goes together. They're not saved. That's what God does. Can you imagine the confusion? You get met at the door by a Gentile who doesn't know God really, and he says, God, talk to me. And you can wrestle with the theology of that all you want until he gets to the phrase, and he told me to go send for you, Peter. Cornelius didn't know Peter. Not personally. And God told him to send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message. Now, notice, very important, verse 14. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. That's fantastic. Cornelius was not yet a saved man, but God is telling him how to have his hunger met. Amen. Verse 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit, come on, read it with me. The Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. Folks, can you see, Peter's not defensive. Peter stands up, he says, you can be upset at me if you want. Go ahead, fine, blame me. It's okay. But let me just tell you what happened. While I was speaking, guys, I didn't even get to finish my sermon. While I was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on these guys. By the way, just like the Holy Spirit fell on us. Remember, you were a bunch of Jewish guys who didn't know Jesus. And remember when the Holy Spirit fell on you? Remember what God did in your life, guys? God did the same thing in their life. So who was I to say this isn't God? Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? What a powerful statement. If God's moving on them in the same way he moved in us, who was I to think I could oppose God? What am I going to do? Push back the Holy Spirit. No, you can't. No, you can't come here. Wrong house. You can't do it. No, Lord. No. God chooses who he moves on. God chooses where he moves. God chooses how he moves. Listen to the scripture, the context. He was praying, proskumahe. That literally means Peter was worshiping and seeking God. He went into a trance. Ecstasis is the Greek. Literally means displacement of the mind, bewilderment, ecstasy, amazement. He fell into a sense of the moving of the Spirit on his life, and something amazing began to unfold. He saw a vision, a harama. Harama, something, a spectacle unfolded before his eyes. The Holy Spirit simply, plainly moved. Verse 7, I heard a voice saying. Verse 8, not, no, Lord. Guys, I was having trouble with this too, as he's telling the story. James, John, guys of the circumcision here, I was having trouble with this too. I can understand your frustrations. I was wrestling with this leading. But then God said, what God has cleansed, don't call common. Katartizo. What God has made clean and purified, don't you dare accuse as being profane, unholy. Anything God has cleansed is no longer common or profane. What God has washed, church, in light of what I was talking a little while ago, I want you to understand something, door of grace. What God has cleansed is not to be considered as unholy and profane. I want you to stop and think of that the next time you're tempted to argue or have problems. Doesn't mean we never have problems, but pride causes contention. Stop long enough to remember my brother and my sister that I'm looking at right now having this trouble with is washed clean, and we are brethren together. Even if it's my spouse, we are clean together before the Lord. They're to be treated with dignity and respect. What God has cleansed, don't call common. Immediately, three men come to the door. The Spirit bade me go. The Spirit, you know what that means, that phrase? The Spirit made me go. In the Greek, it literally means the Spirit. These guys, okay. I know I'm interrupting myself. The problem the Jews were having was that they went and ate with these guys. And the phrase, the Spirit bade me go, the Greek literally means the Spirit told me to go associate, to go be with them, to go have fellowship with them, to not be put away, to convene and keep company. The Spirit of God told me to go keep company with these people. With no doubting. No diacrino. No withdrawal. No separation from these guys. We're going to Cornelius' house with the leading and the promise of God. I can't make you believe me, fellas of Israel. All I can tell you is what God said and did. All I can tell you is about the fruit. And I just have to obey God. Doesn't make sense. How many of you understand the leading of God isn't logical? When's the last time leading of God was logical for you? God anoints common sense, I know, but sometimes the leadings of God make no sense at all. Church of Jesus Christ isn't supposed to look like the NBA courts. It isn't supposed to look like a football field where someone taunts or someone is proud and pride causes contention. The Church of Jesus Christ is a family. The Gentiles look on, and everybody who's not a Christian is supposed to be able to look on the family of God and go, man, I'd like to have a family just like that. I want to be a part of that kind of thing, where they love me and accept me and help me grow, and I get washed clean. Wow. So Peter's telling him how he didn't withdraw then, how he obeyed, how he went to people of a wrong pedigree so a Gentile could come to God. And the hits just keep on coming. And all of a sudden, these brethren in Jerusalem have walls of prejudice and pride begin to crumble. And the tsunami wave is still moving. And the hits just keep on coming to crumble our pride. So we become a tender-hearted, obedient, yielded people who love Jesus and love each other and keep reaching out even to unlovely people. Cornelius sees an angel. The angel stood and said, the angel was right on, go get Peter at Simon's house and I'll get you saved, he tells Cornelius. And then Peter continues and he says, and then the Holy Spirit fell on them. God meets hungry people, even when you don't think they do it right. How can you stand against what God is doing? That is a crucial question. Now, I want you to understand at that point, Peter has been rehearsing a story. In sales work, we call it coming to the close. Okay? There's a closing question. I can spend all day long. Now, in real estate, it's different because real estate's usually the biggest purchase people make with their life. And with their money, and so it's not closure in the same way, but you've all been to and in conversations where they come to the closing question, haven't you? I can talk to you all day long. I can make you sit in my chair for 2 hours. The longer I get you in my chair, the longer or the better my sales is probably going to go. But if I get you in my chair, I can talk all day long, but I'll never get a bottom line sale if I can't ask a closing question. And so if I'm ever out showing you property, sometimes I'll probably laugh as I ask the question that I should ask as a good salesman. And now would you like me to go write up this purchase and sale agreement for you? If you don't ask a closing question, you never get a sale. Peter told them what the Spirit of God had done. Peter admitted, some of these guys, can you imagine, some of their faces are hard and hostile because they don't understand. They weren't there for the leading. They weren't there for the revival meeting. And Peter comes right down to saying, the Spirit did this, and the Spirit did this, and the Spirit did this, and then the Holy Spirit fell on them, just like he did on you and me. And he's watching and giving opportunity for the Spirit of God to change hearts and lives and perspectives as he asks this closing question. Now, do you want to withstand God? What a powerful closing question. Acts 11, verse 17. So I ask you, if God gave the same exact gift to them, message says, as to us, when we believed in the Master Jesus Christ, how could I object to God? If therefore, New King James, God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Who are you that you can withstand God? Kyrioō, prevent, suffer, withstand, not suffer, rather. All of a sudden, Peter stopped telling a story, and he moved into a realm of personal application. I can grab theology all day long, and I was understanding a new point, but then God changed my life. And I didn't want to be found in a place where I was withstanding God. Church, I want to ask you a question this morning, a very sincere question. And if you want to close your eyes, that's fine, because I don't want you to look around. I don't want you to think about anybody else. I want to ask you this morning, in any area of your life, do you really want to withstand God? In any area of your life, do you really want to stand against what God wants to do? God, change me now. If there is any area in me that's not of you, then change me. Where we are brittle, O Lord, let us be tender. Now let's listen to the conclusion of the matter. The fruit causes arguments to cease. Look at the fruit. Look at the result. Acts 11, verse 18. Acts 11, verse 18. New King James. When they heard these things, they became silent. Can you imagine? Probably as silent as it was up here. And they became silent. They glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. This silence meant the Holy Spirit was speaking to their hearts and the revelations breaking in their soul. And all of a sudden, the pride melts away and the contention and what I didn't like. When you begin to look at the fruit and you see the kingdom of God spreading, you have to stop and say, okay, Lord, maybe I didn't like it, but it doesn't matter anymore. You're on the move. Go keep doing it, Jesus. Keep getting people saved. Keep getting people baptized in the Spirit. Keep bringing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, don't stop. Door of grace, if God chooses to use the church somewhere else to bring revival, it's okay. As long as revival comes. If he chooses to use this one, I pray he does. He's at least changing our lives, isn't he? Is at least changing our lives. New American Standard, when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well, then God has granted to the Gentiles repentance that leads to life. Out of the NIV, when they heard this, they had no further objections. Their objections just melted away. They praised God, saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. Listen, what this is all about, so you understand the history. A Gentile could come to God only by becoming a Jew. A Gentile could come to God only by becoming a Jew. New Christian movement, you got Jewish Christians, same understanding of how to get to God. You Gentiles can come, but you got to become Jewish. And God's saying, church, I have something new for all of you. Don't need the middle step anymore. Everybody can come to me. It's huge. And the hits just keep on coming. Can you imagine a little historian sitting over in the corner, baptized in the Holy Spirit Christian, studying the law of Moses, sitting over in the corner going, whew, man, this stuff just keeps on happening. What's next? What's God going to do next? Can you imagine? But think of the delight. Think of the delight in the apostles' souls. All of a sudden, can you imagine the little rumble of excitement going, whoa, I didn't expect this. Oh, wow, Peter, you must have had really cool meetings. My gracious, God's granted to the Gentiles repentance and life, just like he did us. Can you imagine these guys sitting back if they were honest enough to say, well, guess we don't have a corner on the God market. And God's saying, fellas, I'm still going to use you to be the light of the world. I just have to help you understand the light's supposed to just really keep shining and keep going. And it's not just a Jewish Christian church. And the scripture concludes by saying, and they all glorified God. I fear sometimes that what we can do as we gather is just come for historical understanding. That's important. I think understanding the history, the context, the Greek, the Hebrew, understanding all of that is really important. But there's always a present tense application. And what I don't want to have happen this morning is for us to leave having had a good study without it changing our lives. That's why I stop throughout the message and I say, what about you? What about us as a church? What about our attitudes together? Are we brittle or are we pliable? Can God move? And will we receive it when he does? Now later, in Acts chapter 15, we see they do convene an apostolic conference. And they determine, indeed, once and for all, that these new Gentile believers do not need to be circumcised because they have experienced genuine repentance. Let me just conclude with a story that my friend, Pastor David Koblen, Pastor Carl, Pastor Sherry's son-in-law, sent to me. And I just want to conclude with an example of someone who followed a voice, as Peter did, who followed the Spirit. It's a really touching story, but the illustration is all about listening and doing what's different than expected. That's pretty much the message this morning. Peter listened and obeyed God, even though some people didn't expect it to go that way, and God moved. Very simple, natural illustration of this point. 20 years ago, I drove a cab for a living. When I arrived at 2:30 a.m., the building was dark except for a single light and a ground floor window. Under these circumstances, many drivers would simply honk once or twice, wait a minute, and then drive away. But I'd seen too many impoverished people who depended on taxis as their only means of transportation. Unless the situation smelled of danger, I always went to the door. That's contrary to what a lot of taxi drivers would say you should do. It's unsafe. The passenger might be someone who needs my assistance, I reasoned to myself, to my assistants. So I walked to the door and I knocked. Just a minute, answered a frail, elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor. After a long pause, the door opened and a small woman in her 80s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it like somebody out of a 1940s movie. By her side was a small nylon suitcase, and the apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. There were no clocks on the walls, no knickknacks, no utensils on the counter. In the corner was a cardboard box filled with photographs and glassware. Would you carry my bag up to the car, she said. I took the suitcase to the cab, then I returned and I assisted the woman. She took my arm and we walked slowly to the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. It's nothing, I told her. I just try to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother treated. And she said, oh, you're such a good boy. When we got to the cab, she gave me an address, and then she asked, could you please drive through downtown? It's not the shortest way, I answered quickly. Oh, I don't mind. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice. I looked in the rearview mirror, and her eyes were literally glistening. I don't have any family left, she continued. The doctor says I really don't have very long. I quietly reached over and I shut off the meter. What route would you like me to take? For the next 2 hours, we drove and drove all through the city. She showed me the building where she'd once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a, she had me pull up, are they coming in now? She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had been dancing as a little girl. Sometimes when we drove by a certain place, she asked me to slow down and she just looked, sat and looked into the darkness of a building, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing over the horizon, she suddenly said, "I'm tired now. Let's go." We drove in silence to the address she'd given me. It was a low building, a small convalescent center, with a driveway that passed under a portico, and two elderlies came right out to the cab as we drove up. They were intent, polite, literally watching her every move, and they must have been expecting her. I opened the trunk and I took her small suitcase to the door. They'd already seated her in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you, young man?" as she reached into her purse. And he said, "Nothing." And she looked at him and she said, "But you have to make a living." He said, "There are other passengers." Almost without thinking, I bent over and I gave her a big hug. And she held me tightly. And she said these words, "You've given an old woman a little moment of joy. Thank you." I squeezed her hand, then I walked off into the morning light. Behind me, a door shut. The door shutting was the sound of the closing of a life. I didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought. For the rest of the day, I could hardly talk. What if this woman had gotten an angry driver? What if she'd gotten someone impatient? Would come to the end of this shift. What if I'd refused to take the run? Or I'd honked once and then driven away? On a quick review, I don't think I've done anything more important in my entire life. We're conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments, but great moments oftentimes catch us unaware, beautifully wrapped and what others may consider simply a small moment. A simple man who listened, if you will, to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Peter may have been more complex as an apostle, but he listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit and ushered in a move that has gathered you and I up in its wings. We're here this morning because of that obedience. This week, when we look at each other, look with respect and love and don't call common what God has called clean, and listen to the voice of the Spirit to strengthen one another and to reach out to others. As we let God change us, as we let the hits keep right on coming, He will indeed bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Let's stand.